Welcome in to another new AMP podcast. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, news editor with the AMP publications team. Today, we're speaking with Pam Nicoletti, president of the Master Painters Institute, which is known as MPI for short. Earlier this year, MPI introduced its current Decision Tree Tools platform as a digital interactive guide. It works by prompting users to select the most suitable coding system and products for both commercial and architectural projects, and it can work with both new construction and restoration and repair work. These tools are designed to encompass all project variables while significantly reducing the manual effort that is needed to select an appropriate coding system. We'll get into specifics momentarily, but let's start with introductions. Pam, thanks so much for taking the time to join us. And can you tell our audience a little bit about both your career biography as well as the history of MPI as an organization?
Yeah, certainly, Ben. And thanks to you and the listeners of your podcast for allowing MPI to be a guest and me specifically. My history goes back. I basically was educated at the University of Houston in Houston, Texas, joined AMP some odd years ago in their technology department, actually. From the technology department, I moved into the education group and from there took over the delivery of education and the global operations at AMP. Really enjoyed that and we had a lot of success in that. Additionally, when NACE at the time looked at the opportunity to purchase MPI, I actually served on the vetting team. So I got to talk to the original founders and some of the people that worked at MPI. Was really excited about the opportunities and the crossover from AMP to MPI and the things we could do jointly together. So when this opportunity came up to lead the MPI team, I moved over and I'm really excited about the potential for the future and the decision tree tools, which we'll be talking about today.
Yeah. And remind me, what year was it that MPI joined NACE?
It was in 2018. So we actually did the vetting in 2017, right before the pandemic years. And then 2018, we joined efforts together. And then since then, we've done a number of things, continue to explore those. Absolutely.
So walk us through that process, both in terms of why MPI was the right fit for NACE, why it's the right fit for AMP now as the merged organization of the legacy groups, NACE International and SSPC, Society for Protective Coatings. Walk us through where MPI fits within those organizations, what the market niche is, and generally speaking, how MPI solves problems for that market.
Yeah, absolutely. Great question, Ben. So if you look at AMP's mission to protect people, assets, and the environment with materials protection, MPI fits so completely within that niche, right? So on the AMP side, the focus is industrial and obviously corrosion and sustainability. Well, from the MPI side, we're focused on commercial and architectural. So if you look at, for example, the industrial coatings market worldwide was estimated to be about $100 billion in 2023. Well, the architectural and commercial coatings market is about $65 billion. So it's still a sizable size of the coatings industry, that's contributing basically. And just like we need to protect assets industrially, we also need to protect assets commercially and architecturally, protecting assets that are being coated with that $65 million worth of product. Also ensuring the quality of those assets and how we're protecting the public. So what is in those coatings that are being applied to those commercial facilities? And how can we ensure that they're applied to performance standards to ensure that they will meet the needs of the market going forward for that architectural and coatings industry?
And just to clarify, who are generally MPI's customers and users? Can you shed some light on who the end users of MPI services and products are?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question, Ben. So we work with architects, we work with specifiers, to make sure that the products they're using and the people they're using, quite frankly, in commercial coatings projects or architectural coatings projects meet a certain level of standards. We also work with paint manufacturers. So they're submitting samples to us and we're getting them listed with those architects, or the Navy or others who are looking for products within certain categories. Is it a green category? We're seeing a lot around green, environmental, and sustainable. We're actually working on launching some new educational series on green coatings because we're seeing a lot of new specifications coming out especially in the East Coast of the U.S., the West Coast, and in Europe, that are specifying that products must meet a certain sustainable or green level. So that's a lot of what we're working on right now and we're seeing coming up in the industry.
Can I ask you about the geography? Because I know historically it's a North American organization, but I know there is a global emphasis that's really taken off over the last couple of years. What's the geographic reach here, both current and what you want it to be in the future?
Yeah. So the largest consumer of architectural and commercial coatings projects is actually in East Asia. And you're right. MPI has primarily been North American focused. MPI started in Canada. We've seen a lot of specifications grow and we've seen a great number of interest in North America, in the United States, obviously in North America. And we are starting to get inquiries from others. So we are about to sign an agreement in Latin America with one of the Latin American coatings organizations. We're also talking to a group in China and in the UK as well. So we see global uptick for this. We know that people need quality specifications and quality standards for coatings worldwide. And so our goal is to ensure that we are where they need in order to provide those specifications and standards, no matter where that is.
All right, let's talk about the decision tree tool, because I know that's something in 2024 that's really important for you all. What was behind the creation of that and what market shortcoming does it address?
Yes, certainly. So MPI had a legacy decision tree tool that was not near as interactive or the tool we see today. And so when we started looking at that tool and we started talking to people who needed to use that tool and how could we basically improve upon it and bring it to where it is today, that is the current iteration of the tool. The old tool looks nothing like the current tool. And so the decision tree tool simplifies that decision making. Think of you've received a standard on your desk. It's 200 pages. You've got to go through that standard to make sure that the products you're selecting or specifying meet the needs or meet what's called out in that standard. Well, with the decision tree tool, we're going to get you, by asking you a series of questions, we're going to get you to that decision in minutes versus hours. So you're really going to save time by going through this tool. And then at the end, you can download those product specs and attach it to your job specifications or the specifications that you're going to be using for that project.
So what was the development process like? It sounds like you had a clear goal early on. What were the phases as far as working through to get to the current product? Who were some of the people involved within MPI and AMP? And just speak to the collaborative process to make all this happen to where you're able to take this to market this year.
So the first phase is always research, right? What's needed from the audience? What's needed from the industry? And how can we get there? Right. So it's basically an analysis of looking at those products, programs, and services. We have a number of subject matter experts that work with us from MPI. We also work with inspectors in Canada. So we have an Alberta Crown Inspectors Group as well as the MPDA. So they worked closely with us on the tool. But we try to make this an industry outlook. So basically, when we look across the industry, how are we going to meet the needs of the greatest number of people? Once that analysis was done, the team went back and started putting together the steps of the tool, right? What does this look like? How do we basically modify it when we see new paint and coatings coming in and making sure that the tool is extensible enough that we can literally work with it for the future? And then our intern development team went to work. It's about a year worth of work on the tool, basically getting it into the format it is today. And we're constantly under improvement looking at the tool. For example, one of the things we're looking at now is, can it be a mobile app or can we make sure that it's mobile friendly so that when people don't have access to a computer, they can use it on their phone, right? And so that's some of the things we're doing now. We're improving the image quality. We're looking at, is there a way to speed the technology as we're going through it? You know, technology changes constantly. So how can we get the tool and make it the best version that it is for customers and industry professionals?
Yeah, and we should note that if you go to the MPI website at mpi.net, you can click on Decision Tree and access an interactive demo there to really walk our listeners through what it looks like. Speaking at a high level, can you tell us some situations where this can be used? As far as the demo, I think that's best done through the website where people can literally see it on their desktop or on their phone, as you were saying, or tablet, whatever the platform may be. But just at a high level, what are some project situations where this can potentially be used?
Yeah. So we were just recently talking to some government officials. I'm not going to name names because I haven't gotten their permission to say so. We were talking to some government officials, and they were looking for exterior coatings on a facility. And so going through the tool, they had a mandate that the coatings had to reach a certain performance level and a certain content level. So they would go through and select from the tree, we're painting an exterior surface. Here's the condition of the surface currently. Here's the standards we need to meet. For example, here's the environment we're in. Are we in a humid environment? Are we in a drier climate? And then at the end, basically, he was able to see a list of coatings, MPI coatings, that are on the approved products list that meet his needs for that project, and then download that project plan to say, basically, here's what we can use and here's how we should use those coatings.
Along those same lines, you spoke to the types of projects that it can be used for. Mm-hmm. What are the end savings? I'm guessing some of it's time, some of it's economics. What are the end results that you're seeking when you use this on one of those types of projects?
Yeah, so certainly the biggest is time, right? That's the biggest savings you're going to see is time, getting those specifications and standards. And of course, money is time for all of us, but also, you know, if you're a government specifier and you have to have at least three products to know that you can choose from those three products, you're not able to sole source, the decision tree will give you those three products. The decision tree will say, here's the products in that category. So while you may be working with one manufacturer or another, you'll have alternatives. If the supply is not there, if there's a supply chain problem, and the product you selected is not there, you're going to have an alternative that also meets the MPI standards and also meets the standards needed for your project.
What happens next after you put the project specifications into the tool? I know some of this can be answered through the interactive demo, but just generally speaking, how does this work?
So you're able, as you go through and you each question is asked, you're able to save those within the decision tree tool. So it captures your responses, it keeps them saved for you, and then at the end, you can download that PDF, that exportable PDF, which captures not only all your decisions, but the MPI specifications that met each category that you selected. So at all times, you have that information saved, and then obviously you're able to export it at the end, so that others maybe that are not active in using the tree outside of you also have basically insight into the decisions that were suggested for you.
So I'm sure you've got different types of users ranging from individual to larger groups and organizations. You spoke to the government interest earlier, be it at the smallest level or the largest. What's the feedback that you've heard thus far? It's only been a few months since this has been rolled out to the market, the current decision tree tool. So what feedback have you heard from people who are actually using it to this point?
Yeah, so we've gotten great feedback. We have a number of subscribers that already subscribe to the MPI specification manuals. So our first step was to go out to those who are already subscribers to those specification manuals and say, here's an add-on to your specification manuals. We're not replacing the specification manuals. We're going to make it simpler, faster, and easy. And we're going to bundle those products for you so that you can use specification manual along with the decision tree. The feedback from those have been phenomenal. They've dove right in. Many of them are using it. We're talking to a number of corporations, corporate subscribers who are also interested in the tool. We're even talking to some retail locations when they look at retail repaint. How do we help those individuals that maintain retail facilities quickly get to a decision about the architectural commercial coatings they should be using? And again, like I said, especially as we dive into green and sustainable practices, and we see more regulations coming out from government about what those look like, it's going to be even more critical. And those green products are in the decision tree.
Well, as far as the future of this tool, is it mostly raising awareness at this point? Are there further refinements to be had? What are the points of emphasis as you look to the back half of 2024 and the years ahead? Is it mainly about raising awareness with those groups as you were speaking to, or is there anything else coming on the horizon that, you know, could potentially change the platform?
No, absolutely. I think we need to continue to raise awareness, not only about the tool, but about the need for quality standards. Why do we need quality standards? Why are we trying to input these? And the tool obviously emphasizes those quality standards. As I said before, looking at a mobile version, we see people on their phones and tablets a lot more now, so we need to make sure that the tool is mobile friendly, that project specifications can be exported to integrate into other project tools. So for example, if someone's using Microsoft Project, can we integrate into that tool for them? Will that work? Also looking, like I said, at those different types of environments and how do we meet the needs of those users? We want to make the tool as easy and simple as we can. So we're asking all of our customers who subscribe to it to give us that feedback. We'll take that feedback. We'll go back into that analysis phase and improve the tool. So it will be an ongoing effort. We are certainly not done with it. We will continue to improve upon the tool, but we're really excited about getting the first iteration out to market and the feedback we're getting.
Along those same lines, is there interest in developing customized tools like this for other specifications? And what would that process look like?
Absolutely. We actually, again, had another government official approach us and said, hey, could you take this other guide and could you develop it into a similar tool? Because these standards have gotten so large and so complex, and it takes so much time to get through them. How do we guide people through those decisions and get them to the end state quicker and easier using technology, quite frankly? So yeah, absolutely, we are looking at other applications. I envision a day where there's a version of the tool that's specifically for sustainable and green coatings. Even though the green products are incorporated in today, I see things changing for us on the landscape from an eco, carbon emissions, the VOCs, things like that. I think there's a day when we will see a standalone version of the tool just for green and sustainable coatings. So absolutely, we are looking at other versions. We are looking at what would that take and what would the market be.
You've spoken about taking the message to government entities a few times today. Mm-hmm. Generally speaking, what's the best way to communicate the message to those groups? Is it data? Is it case studies? What's your strategy when it comes to, you know, conveying the importance of this tool and the benefits that are going to get them to realize, hey, this is something I should be using?
Yes, all of the above. Case studies and data we're using. We're also, you know, evaluating their needs. Like we talked a bit today about how do we customize the tool, right? So evaluating what are their needs and making modifications if we need to. We have a series of standards that is adopted specifically just by the Navy. And we're currently working on a rewrite of those standards because they've communicated to us that there's changes needed to make sure that they continue to work for them. And so as those standards are rewritten, we'll continue to work with those groups to ensure that we're meeting their needs. We have strong relationships to them, not only through our subject matter experts, but also through the team at MPI. And we continue to talk to them and make sure, again, that we are meeting the needs for them.
For anyone listening that might want to offer feedback or perhaps they just want to learn more, I mentioned earlier that the demo is available through the website, but for someone who wants to reach out directly to you or to MPI to either learn more or offer feedback, what's the best way for them to do that? And also, if they want to purchase this tool and take the next step, where should they go for that?
Yeah, we would welcome that. Absolutely. They can reach out to me directly at pam.nicoletti@mpi.net or to our Director of Operations, Lucy Snyder@mpi.net. She's linked on the website as well. Quick link to the decision tree is mpi.net/dtree. So our managing marketing team came up with that. So if you need to get there quickly, that's the quickest way to get there. And there's a contact form you can fill out there as well. If you fill that out, we will get back to you quickly and discuss your needs and discuss how we can work with you.
mpi.net/dtree. That's pretty easy to remember.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
And your last name is spelled N-I-C-O-L-E-T-T-I, correct?
Correct, Ben. Thank you. Yes.
Excellent. All right. Well, we will wrap it there. Great insight from Pam Nicoletti, president of MPI and longtime staff leader within NACE and now AMP. Again, if you want to learn more about MPI's resources and services, just visit mpi.net where you can access more about the Decision Tree platform, as well as a range of other services and products offered by MPI that could be useful to end users. And with that, we'll bring this episode to a close. On behalf of AMP, I'm Ben Dubose. And if you want more resources from us at AMP or our publications within the association, just visit amp.org, AMPP.org, codingspromag.com, or materialsperformance.com. As always, thanks for listening, and we'll be back soon with another new episode.
Thanks, Ben.